This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
We talk about the digital world using these incredibly lightweight, almost magical metaphors, right?
Oh, yeah, constantly.
Like we call it the cloud. We talk about processing happening out in the ether or algorithms just sort of living entirely in the software realm.
Right, right.
And it paints this picture of technology as completely untethered from physical reality. But today, we are tearing down that illusion.
We really are.
Yeah, we're jumping into a deep dive on a comprehensive stack of sources covering the global AI landscape, specifically looking at a daily briefing from June 29th, 2026.
Mm-hmm.
And our mission for this deep dive is to unpack this massive coordinated shift that is happening across the globe right now.
Yeah, because the narrative around artificial intelligence has just, well, it's fundamentally fractured. I mean, we are no longer living in that era where the biggest debate for you was simply which company's software could write the best Python code.
Right, exactly. Those days feel long gone.
They really do. The world's biggest geopolitical players, so we're talking the United States, the European Union, South Korea, China, they are violently colliding over the gritty physical realities of AI.
Yeah.
We are talking about electricity grids, raw industrial land, brutal cost wars, and really aggressive government choke points.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because three massive global moves happened on the exact same day in these sources, mm-hmm. and they point to a completely new era.
Mm-hmm.
And to really understand this shift, we have to look at the tools you use every single day and how this surprising new bottleneck has emerged right at the source, which is the United States government.
Right.
So OpenAI just released GPT 5.6 on June 26th.
Yeah, finally.
Right. Featuring three models. They're named Sol, Terra, and Luna.
Mm.
But the catch is, if you try to integrate them into your workflow today, you are completely locked out.
Yeah, you can't get to them at all.
No, it is a restricted preview, and it's limited to about 20 government-approved partner companies.
And that restriction, I mean, that signals a major structural change in how frontier models even reach the public now.
How so?
Well, both OpenAI and Anthropic, and remember, Anthropic has their new Mythos model just waiting for release.
Yeah.
They are now subject to mandatory pre-release government evaluation for cyber capabilities.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This stems directly from a June 2nd executive order from the Trump administration.
Okay.
So now, the White House Office of the National Cyber Director, along with the Office of Science and Technology Policy, they are finalizing this evaluation framework.
Right.
And they're aiming for an August 2026 completion. Though OpenAI has publicly stated this government approach shouldn't become the standard moving forward.
I mean, it's like an automaker inventing a revolutionary new engine. But the government is holding the keys and saying, well, you can't sell it until we test exactly how fast it can go and who might misuse it.
That's a really good way to put it.
But looking closely at the mechanics of this, the delay isn't just a political friction point, right? Like, it completely upends how these tech companies actually function.
Oh, absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the business impact here is just staggering.
Yeah.
Think about it from the perspective of an enterprise architect. You build a product that relies on these frontier models.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, your entire product roadmap is dependent on a government testing timeline.
Wow.
Enterprise contracts involving like service availability guarantees or the deployment of backup models, all of that is entirely up in the air.
Because you can't predict when you'll actually get the green light.
Exactly. You simply cannot promise your users a new feature if you don't know when the underlying model is going to clear those federal cyber evaluations.
And the crazy thing is, while companies are waiting on these evaluations, they're also bracing for the financial reality of running these models.
Oh, the costs. Yeah.
Because OpenAI revealed the tiered pricing for GPT 5.6, and mechanics of how they charge are super revealing.
Mm-hmm.
So they price per 1 million tokens. The flagship model, Sol, costs $5 for input and $30 for output.
Yeah, that ratio is wild.
Right. And then the balanced mid-tier model, Terra, is $2.50 for input and $15 for output, mm-hmm. which is about half the cost of the previous GPT 5.5.
Right, right.
And finally, you have the lightweight Luna model, which is just $1 for input and $6 for output.
The ratio there is the key detail to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Because output costs roughly 6 times more than input across every single tier.
And that really comes down to the raw physics of how large language models compute.
Exactly.
Like when you feed text into a model, the input it can process all those words in parallel using matrix multiplication. Mm. It's essentially reading everything all at once.
Yeah, it's very efficient.
But generating output is an autoregressive process. The model has to generate one word, look at the whole sentence, generate the next word, look at the whole sentence again.
Right.
It literally has to load its entire massive parameter state into the memory chips for every single word it writes.
And that takes vastly more compute, which is exactly why output just burns through your budget so much faster.
Right.
Which means this model tiering strategy, it's the new operational reality for developers.
Yeah.
You cannot just point all your software at the flagship model anymore. You have to build an intelligent routing layer.
Makes sense.
So you send the heavy tasks, like massive code refactoring or complex logical audits, you send those to Sol.
Mm-hmm.
You use Terra for standard document drafting. And then you route the millions of simple, repetitive API calls to Luna.
Because if you don't do that.
Right. If you fail to log and route these tasks properly, and you accidentally leave, say, a simple sorting script running on Sol,
oh man,
those output token costs will quietly bleed your budget dry over a single weekend.
And even with OpenAI offering that lightweight $1 Luna model, the sheer volume of AI integration means companies are desperate to cut computing costs even further.
Desperate is the right word.
And that desperation is actually driving American startups straight into the arms of Chinese developers.
Yeah, it really is.
The cost war is fully underway, and it's completely reshaping industry alliances right now.
We are seeing Chinese open weight models just dominating the top rankings in U.S. developer communities right now.
Right.
We're talking about models like GLM-5 from Zipu AI, Quen 3.5 from Alibaba, Kimi K2.5 from Moonshot, and DeepSeek V4.
And we should probably clarify what open weight actually means here, because it's different from traditional open source software.
Very different, yeah.
With open source, you get the code, the blueprint, the training, data, you know, everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With open weight, companies like Alibaba are giving you the final pre-trained neural network weights. They give you the finished engine, basically, but they keep the factory blueprints and the training data a secret.
Exactly.
You can run it locally, but you don't really know how it was made.
Right, but the incentive to use them anyway comes down to pure economics.
Always does.
These Chinese models cost anywhere from 5 to 30 times less to run than Western models.
30 times.
Up to 30 times, yeah. And when you are operating at scale, a 30x discount isn't just a cost-saving measure. It dictates whether your business model is even viable at all.
A major signal of this shift actually broke on June 26th on CNBC. Lindy, which is a prominent U.S. startup, they moved all of their traffic away from Anthropic's Claude and directly over to DeepSeek.
Wow.
Strictly for cost efficiency. But wait, I have to ask. If Alibaba or DeepSeek are offering prices 30 times cheaper, we really have to look at how that is mathematically possible.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really a victory for Chinese engineering? Or is this just wholesale intellectual property theft masking as a price war?
And that is the exact friction point threatening the entire industry right now.
Yeah.
A cheaper model doesn't necessarily mean a more efficient lab.
Right.
Anthropic recently filed a complaint with the U.S. Senate.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah, accusing Alibaba's Quen lab of 28.8 million instances of distillation.
And distillation is such a fascinating mechanism.
It really is.
Like, instead of spending $1 billion gathering data and running supercomputers for months to train a model from scratch, a competitor just takes their small, cheap model and uses the expensive Western model as a teacher. They ask Anthropic's model millions of complex questions, take those perfect answers, and feed them directly into their own system.
Yeah.
They are essentially scraping the output of the $1 billion model to train their own for pennies.
Which means the U.S.-China AI competition has morphed into a really messy intellectual property dispute.
Yeah.
So while those cheap operational costs from Alibaba or DeepSeek, while they look great on a quarterly spreadsheet, building your business on a model that might be tied up in international copyright litigation, I mean, that carries massive unseen risks.
For sure.
Because if a court rules that distillation is IP theft and those models get sanctioned or blocked from U.S. servers, the foundation of your product just vanishes.
Wow. And whether you are navigating OpenAI's expensive flagship models or Alibaba's cheap open weight models, there is one unavoidable reality at the base of all this software.
Physical hardware.
Exactly. You need an immense amount of physical hardware to run them. The realization that compute is finite is causing a massive scramble in the physical world, which is moving our focus to the supply chain.
Hardware is the ultimate bottleneck right now.
Yeah.
I mean, for years, U.S. big tech has been entirely reliant on NVIDIA.
Mm-hmm.
NVIDIA built this massive moat with CUDA compute unified device architecture. It is the software layer that allows a developer's code to actually talk to the GPU.
Right.
And because NVIDIA gave CUIA away for years, almost all the world's AI code is written in it, completely locking developers into buying NVIDIA chips.
And breaking that lock is incredibly painful. But companies are actively trying.
They are.
Like Meta is committing to Qualcomm CPUs for multiple generations of its next servers.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, they have to rewrite massive portions of their software stack just to work outside of the CUDA environment.
Right.
Just shows you the sheer desperation to diversify chip purchases and break that monopoly.
Yeah.
But designing and buying a chip is only the first step.
Oh, absolutely. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Right.
You have to actually manufacture those chips, package them, and power them. On June 29th, South Korean President Lee Jae-myung announced an unprecedented national initiative.
I saw this. It's huge.
A 400, 500 trillion Korean won investment mobilized by Samsung and SK.
Just to help you wrap your head around the scale of 500 trillion won, we are talking about hundreds of billions of U.S. dollars deployed to create a totally vertically integrated AI supply chain right within South Korea's borders.
Mm-hmm.
The plan includes building a second massive semiconductor cluster in the Honam region, and they are focusing on both the front-end fabrication and the back-end packaging.
And that distinction between front-end and back-end is vital here.
Okay, break that down.
So front-end fabrication is what we traditionally think of, right? Etching microscopic transistors onto a silicon wafer. But the modern bottleneck is back-end packaging. AI requires taking different types of chips, like compute processors and massive banks of high bandwidth memory, and stacking them three-dimensionally into a single microscopic package so they can communicate instantly.
Wow.
That packaging process is arguably harder than the etching itself.
And South Korea isn't just stopping at the chips. The investment plan details building gigawatt-class AI data centers spread across Chungcheong, Busan, and Gyeongnam.
Yeah, gigawatt class.
It's crazy. We always think of AI as something floating in the cloud, but the cloud is incredibly heavy.
So hefty.
Investing 500 trillion won isn't just buying servers. It's practically terraforming entire regions of a country to build the industrial plumbing of the 21st century.
Yeah, and lawyer Kim Kyung-jin offers a really sobering commentary on this in the sources.
Oh.
He notes that the real test for South Korea isn't the 500 trillion won price tag.
Right.
The true test is the execution timeline in the physical world.
The logistics of it all.
Exactly. Securing the massive tracts of land is just the beginning. The physics of a gigawatt class data center are just staggering. I mean, 1 gigawatt is roughly the output of a nuclear power plant.
You can't just plug that into a local municipal grid.
You absolutely cannot. And the compute generates so much heat that you need immense volumes of industrial water just to keep the servers from literally melting themselves into slag.
Why?
Kim Kyung-jin points out that the moat in AI is no longer the software code. The ultimate moat is infrastructure and experience.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the raw physical resources, the power agreements, and the water rights to actually keep the lights on?
So the landscape we are looking at is incredibly hostile right now.
Very.
The U.S. government is locking down model releases for cyber evaluations. China is undercutting prices by 30x while fighting disinflation and IP theft accusations.
Yeah.
South Korea is basically terraforming its landscape to corner the market on advanced packaging and gigawatt power grids.
Yeah.
But what happens when these technologies actually leave the data center and interact with society?
It's a million-dollar question.
Because that brings us to the final piece of the puzzle, Europe's new rulebook.
Right. So on June 29th, the EU Council officially adopted a major amendment to their AI Act known as the Digital Omnibus.
Mm-hmm.
And their regulatory approach provides a really fascinating contrast to the US.
They created a very deliberate two-track timeline.
They did.
For complex technology, what they classify as standalone high-risk AI, they pushed the full compliance deadline back from August 2026 to December 2nd, 2027.
Mm.
And for embedded high-risk AI, like an AI system built directly into an MRI machine, the delay extends all the way to August 2028.
And the logic behind delaying embedded AI relates directly to the hardware life cycles we were just talking about.
How so?
Well, updating an algorithm on a server takes seconds, right?
Yeah.
But when AI is integrated into physical medical equipment, a software update requires recertifying the physical hardware.
Oh, of course.
The EU is essentially giving manufacturers the necessary lead time to align their physical manufacturing cycles with these new software regulations.
But here is the contradiction. While they are giving companies years of breathing room to figure out the complex high-risk systems, they are simultaneously accelerating crackdowns on very specific tools.
Mm-hmm.
AI tools that generate non-consensual intimate images like deepfake nudes and tools that generate child exploitation material have been added to the Article 5 strict bans.
Mm-hmm.
Those bans take effect immediately on December 2nd, 2026. So how can the EU delay the rules for the most advanced, potentially world-altering AI, but accelerate the bans on these specific image generators?
Well, what's fascinating here is that it reveals a highly strategic triage by the EU.
Triage?
Yeah. Regulating a gigawatt data center or auditing a trillion parameter model like Sol for abstract, quote-unquote, systemic risk. That is, technically and legally monumental.
Right.
If they rush that, they risk tying their entire tech sector in knots. But banning deepfake nudes is legally straightforward.
Oh, I see.
You can mathematically define an image generator and the specific harm it causes today. So they are separating the incredibly complex compliance issues from the immediate undeniable societal harms.
So they're performing surgery on the immediate damage rather than trying to diagnose the entire system all at once?
Precisely. For any company selling AI into Europe, the takeaway is crystal clear. You need to entirely ignore those 2028 delays for high-risk AI. They offer absolutely no protection for the immediate rules.
Wow.
Focus your compliance entirely on the transparency requirements hitting this August and those strict Article 5 bans hitting in December.
Because if your model accidentally generates content that violates those new bans,
yeah,
you aren't looking at a minor compliance warning in 2028.
Right.
You are looking at instant legal disputes and the very real threat of being shut out of the European market this year.
Well, pulling all of this together from the June 29th daily briefing, the overarching narrative is pretty clear. The AI race has entirely outgrown the software engineers in Silicon Valley.
Oh, the code was just the starting line.
Yeah. We began this era obsessing over which algorithm was the smartest. Now, the reality of deploying AI means navigating mandatory U.S. government cyber evaluations and building complex API routing to manage tiered output token costs.
Right. It requires defending against Chinese cost-cutting, fueled by model distillation, while keeping an eye on massive intellectual property battles.
Right.
It involves watching South Korea mobilize hundreds of billions of dollars to secure the physical land and water required to cool gigawatt server farms.
Yeah.
And it means avoiding strict, targeted legal tripwires in Europe that can shut down a product overnight.
We are watching the industrial revolution of our time play out simultaneously across legal, physical, and digital domains.
Yeah.
The companies that survive won't just be the ones with the best math. They will be the ones that master the logistics of power, policy, and hardware.
As we wrap up this deep dive into the June 2026 landscape, do you have a final thought? Something for you listening to mull over as you watch these massive physical and political shifts unfold?
I do, actually.
Okay.
For the last 5 years, we've operated under this assumption that the ultimate winner of the AI revolution would be a software company, right?
Sure.
We pictured a group of brilliant coders writing the perfect algorithm that changes the world. But looking at the sheer physical demands detailed in these sources, the gigawatt data centers, the industrial cooling water, the massive tracts of land, we really have to wonder, what if the true ruler of the AI age doesn't end up being a tech giant at all?
Oh, wow.
What if the real winner is a massive real estate or utility company that simply controls the land, the fresh water, and the electricity needed to keep everyone else's servers running?
That is crazy to think about. The ultimate kingmakers of the digital age might just be the people holding the deed to the industrial plumbing.
Exactly.
We built the concept of the cloud to feel weightless.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's the heaviest thing we've ever created.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the physical reality behind the information around you, and we'll see you next time.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.